Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. And we're back, only a few short days from the last episode, but that's kind of what I promised you guys. After taking a little bit of time in between episodes and kind of digesting the results of the Kent County Am and taking the week to kind of get focused and try and change things up a little bit in my routine in preparation for the Michigan Open qualifier at the Country Club of Lansing yesterday, I took a bit of a break, but we're back. So, yesterday's Michigan Open qualifier. We're going to talk about that this episode, and we're going to kind of talk about what's next as far as not just my game of golf, my tournament schedule, but what's next for the podcast. I mean, we're going to try and make a little bit of a shift, I think, moving forward and see what happens. But anyway, let's hold tight here for a quick ad, and when we get back, we'll kind of cover all the nitty-gritty details of how yesterday went, how the Country Club of Lansing played, and kind of my brief overview of the course and what's to come. All right, so anyway, hang tight, be right back. Hey, welcome back. Thanks for sticking it out through the ad, as always. And one of these days, hopefully I can get you guys some new ad content to listen to, because if you haven't started a podcast with Anchor, I mean, at this point, maybe you will, maybe you won't, but might as well talk about some other things that we can promote and kind of get some info in your hands for either the game of golf or Michigan or kind of what have you. But anyway, ads are ads, so nobody wants to listen to them anyway. But we're back, and we're going to talk about yesterday's qualifier for the Michigan Open over at the Country Club of Lansing. And so in the last episode, I kind of talked about how talent and hard work kind of go hand in hand, and hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So last week I'd mentioned I spent a lot of time working hard, harder than I had leading up to the Kent County Am. And so we kind of changed the focus of the week. I spent more time practicing. I got out and played a couple of rounds of golf. I think I published the last episode of this podcast on Sunday morning prior to playing the Meadows. I went out with a buddy of mine, and we had a great time. And for me, it was huge. I hit a lot of good golf shots and got off to a bit of a rough start, making a double on the first hole, but that's because I blew a tee shot off into the long grass that I kind of talked about on previous episodes when I talked about the Meadows. That long grass is penalizing. It's no joke. And so when you blow a ball off into it and you don't find it, It's very quick to hit three off the tee and make a par for a double bogey. And that'll hurt the scorecard early, especially on the easy par five first out there in Allendale. But anyway, I ended up shooting a fairly good score, and I hit a lot of really good shots. And so Sunday's round was cool, and it kind of made me think that, hey, you know what? Maybe leading into future events, I should maybe make a habit of playing the day before. Because, again, just getting out there, and I was playing with a friend of mine who I don't play a lot of golf with, and we've known each other for quite a long time, but we just don't ever tee it up together. So anyway, it was just him and I, just the two of us, and we went out, and we're pretty comparable in skill, I'd say. I mean, he's a good player. I play relatively well sometimes, and so we had a good match going, and the first nine holes, it was not super rainy, but it was heavy drizzle most of the nine, and the back nine, it was just absolutely perfect. The wind had died down, it stopped drizzling, and we had a great time. But overall, we had a good competitive match, and I think I ended up beating him by just a couple strokes. But I think we were ended up being tied with maybe three holes to go, and I think I got one on him on 16, and then we tied 17, and I think I got another one or two on him on 18. But anyway, the point of Sunday's round at the Meadows was to go out and kind of put myself in a somewhat of a state of discomfort, as I have kind of alluded to. That's how I feel at the Meadows, a lot of that long grass. And sometimes for me, I love playing golf courses that are heavily tree lined, because that helps me define sight lines, and especially off the tee. If I've got trees up the left that I can use as either a target or something to work the ball off of, that's huge for me. And when I get out to a course like the Meadows where it's wide open, it gets tough, because I don't have those visuals. Everything is so low to the ground, and it seems so vast and open that I just feel like I hit the ball, and potentially, I mean, I hit the ball high, so I just throw it up there and just try and land it between the long grass. But getting out there was a ton of fun, and it did build a good bit of confidence. I hit some really good tee shots, and I don't hit a lot of drivers at the Meadows, so it was a lot of irons, 4-iron, and I don't think I hit a 3-iron, but even the few drivers I did hit outside of the one on the first hole when I kind of blew it off to the right, I hit some good tee shots, and so that was very encouraging heading into Monday over at the Country Club of Lansing. And so let's talk about that. Monday, my tee time, I was the first group off at 7:30 a.m., which I was pretty excited about. Although I had an awfully early wake-up call at about 4:15, 4:30, so I could do what I do in the morning, go through my routine to kind of start the day, and then get on the road by shoot. With a 7:30 tee time, I wanted to be the course by 6:30-ish, and it was an hour and 20-minute drive, so I hit the road around 5:15. Yesterday morning, so it was an early start to the day, but it was a nice start to the day. It was nice, relaxing, kind of a smooth drive over. I like that because I have had drives to Lansing when I play in qualifiers or tournaments where sometimes traffic's heavy and it just kind of adds to the pre-round stress, like when you're traveling a distance like that. But yesterday was great. I got to the course around 6:30 and went to the range, hit some balls, and immediately right off the bat, Lansing's got kind of a small driving range. They've got 4 target greens, one at about 100, a buck 50, a buck 70, and then I think one's at about 215, 220. And then they have a fence at the end of the range. So they say don't hit driver, but when you're going out there for a Michigan Open qualifier, there are guys, and they understand that too. They don't enforce the no driver policy, but people do hit driver because, I mean, the first hole is a par 4, and it's a driver hole, so it's nice to get a few swings in. But I started with the wedges and hit some, just kind of got warmed up hitting to that 100-yard flag and felt really good about that. Hit a lot of good wedge shots. Then bumped it up to 155, 160 where that next flag was, and was hitting 9-iron and hitting, again, good shots, nice high draws for me. Backed it up to about 175, and for me, that's a 7-iron. So, again, I'm still in that short iron range. So after hitting a few of those, not too many, I don't hit too many balls because I don't want to kind of burn too much fuel pre-round. And so I hit a handful of 6-irons, 5-irons, 4-irons because I thought maybe I'd hit a few 4-irons off the tee. There are a couple of holes out there where I knew driver wasn't the play. But then I did hit a couple of drivers just to kind of get the rhythm of the swing dialed in before heading to the putting green. And at Country Club of Lansing, the greens are so slick. They're so smooth and they're so fast. And that is probably what keeps me coming back to that course. Because the funny thing yesterday, I had the realization that, and it did not take long, cause, and we'll talk about this, but every year I go back to the Country Club of Lansing. In 2017, I qualified for the Michigan Open through this site and played well here. And then in the USAM qualifier that same year or the year after, I think it was the year after, in 2018, I shot the 74-75 in that qualifier and with a triple bogey on the ninth hole in both rounds. So I kind of shot myself in the foot there. But I have some good history there and some good memories. So that's why I keep going back. However, you know, after yesterday, it took me all of like 4 holes to think to myself, why do you keep coming back here? Why is this course? Because tee to green, it suits my game. And the greens putt really well. I do make a lot of putts there, and I do putt well. But I tell you what, if anybody listening right now played in that qualifier yesterday, tell me they didn't have some of the dirtiest hole locations you have ever seen on those greens. Right out of the gate, the first hole has a kind of, a lot of the greens are heavily undulated. They're just super undulated greens with high spots, low spots, tiers, and sections. And the very first hole, I hit driver off the first tee and just missed the fairway in the left rough. I hit a really, really good tee shot. I was trying to kind of fade one out there as it's a dogleg right. And anyway, just missed into the first cut. Had 140 yards in to a pin that was literally, I kid you not, I'll bet you 3 paces on from the back edge. So there's this tiny, tiny shelf, and that shelf can't be more than 10 or 12 feet deep on the back of that green. And it's insane. So the very first hole, I'm in a pitching wedge, which is fine. And I kind of threw it back there and left myself about 15 feet just below the hole for birdie and left that one dead center short, which wasn't cool. But I knew right off the gate, I was like, these guys are going to dog these hole locations today, and this is going to be nuts. And anyway, par the first, go off to the second, and this is kind of where the unsettling feelings crept in because for me, my game is going to rely and depend heavily on how well and how confident I am getting off the tee. And the second hole is not a very long par four, but I made it long because I set up, it's a slight dogleg left, so I aim at the fairway bunker on the right and I try and draw it off of that. And instead of hitting the draw, I hit a pretty wicked push cut, high spinning push fade that ends up over in the rough between two and three, which is fine. Again, old school country club layout. There's lots of room for error, and you can kind of play with that a little bit. But very early, I found that the rough was thick. We got quite a bit of rain on, I think, Sunday, Saturday night into Sunday, and I think Lansing got even more than we did here on the west side of the state. And so the rough was definitely not mowed, and it was definitely long and thick, and it was wet, heavily, I mean, heavy dew that morning. And so, kind of a combination of all the elements there, I found out very quickly that the rough was going to be a bit more penal than expected. So, I think I had like 188, 189 yards in for my second, which is usually a par four where I'm flipping a wedge into from maybe like a buck 10. And so, to have 70 yards further back, because again, dogleg left and I flared it right, and then I'm in the rough and it was a mess, but I ended up hitting the green and two putting for par, which was good. Again, just kind of going off to a smooth start and put a couple pars on the card early is good for me. But this is kind of where the beginning of the end hit. And again, on three, I hit my patented Ric Flair tee shot off into the right rough again, which was, I was spotting it pretty much identical to where I was off of two. So I was like, oh, that's fine. I've been there. I was just there 15 minutes ago. I know it's thick and stuff, but there was a spotter out there on the left side of three, and he saw my ball come down, and after I hit, he kind of buzzed across the fairway. And anyway, we get up there and no ball, and spotter sits, he says, hey, I saw it come down, I heard it kind of come through the top of this tree, I heard it land, I saw it. And we, long story short, we spent 3 minutes looking for it, and they're pretty stern on those 3 minutes, which I don't blame them. It's to encourage pace of play, but three is definitely faster than five, and no joke. I mean, obviously that's the case, but previous years you had 5 minutes to look for your ball. Nowadays it's only three, and when that spotter starts counting down, all right, 60 seconds, and then he gives out a 30-second shout, and next thing you know, it's like I'm gonna go re-tee. So anyway, lost my ball in the rough off of three fairway, which was not more than, honestly, the way that that whole dogleg's right, I was not more than probably 6 or 8 yards off the fairway. So it wasn't like a super big miss, and I was kind of playing the dogleg right with that kind of Ric Flair thought in my mind. So that was probably my first problem, putting that thought in my mind. But anytime you lose a ball in the rough, so it's not like I hit it into a hazard. I didn't hit it out of bounds. I lost it in the rough with a spotter present. That was kind of unsettling. And so went back, re-teed, hit one up to the left side, and again found some gnarly thick rough where from a buck 80 I could not get to the green. I ended up hitting a 7 iron because a 6 iron, which is normally what I'd hit from a buck 80, was not coming out of that grass. So I clubbed down knowing that I was going to come up short. And anyway, went on to make a triple and then still rattled on the next hole. I ended up bogeying the par three fourth and then kind of settled back in a little bit. There's back-to-back par fives. I hit both fairways on the two par fives and was greenside in two on both of them. Unfortunately, did not get up and down either time, again because of some pretty dirty hole locations, which you got to be strategic. And I look at pin sheets. I have a range finder. I shoot yardages, all that stuff. But this is another one, hole five at CCL is the first par five, and it's got another tiny back shelf where they stick this pin right on the top of the ridge, and you're just like, there's no hope. I mean, if you're going for that green in two, you're either going to hit this hill, which is, I kid you not, probably 4 feet from the top of, or from the back of the green to the front of the green, and there's a 4-foot climb in there. If you hit that hill, you're coming right back down to the front, and if you fly it on top, it pitches to the back of the green, so you're going to be off the back, which honestly wouldn't be that bad. My problem was I missed pin high right and had to chip across the slope, and so I ended up making par there. And then the next par five, they tucked the flag behind the bunker on the left, which was kind of dirty as well, but par was fine. Then the next hole's a par three. I ended up kind of, after being a little upset with myself after back-to-back pars on the two par fives, and got kind of aggressive on the par three, which was still 180 yards, but missed it in a greenside bunker and hit what I thought was a really good bunker shot. The pin was back left and the greenside bunker was front right, because again, I was not going to short side myself. Put it kind of up the right side of that green. I thought, open yourself up to kind of have that margin for error. And the problem was I hit this bunker shot that landed on the green, and again, when it kind of checked up and spun, I thought it was going to be really cozy until it catches the slope and rolls left and then continues to go left and ends up off the green. And so next thing you know, I'm chipping on and two putting for double. So I got a triple, I got a double, I got a bogey on the card. We're very quickly 6 over par through 7 holes. And then I par the eighth and bogey the ninth. Bogey the ninth. So make the turn in 7 over, 43 after realistically not a bad nine. Again, just that kind of triple set me back, and then a double on the par three. So two major mistakes, but that's been the story of my season. It's just kind of what I've had to deal with this year, is kind of those big number blues. I talked about that early in the podcast, and it's seemingly still the case. And so I think that's part my own fault. I think, as you guys know, if you play golf in any competitive capacity or just recreationally, of course, a lot of times you'll find that whatever's in your mind tends to happen. And so I've just kind of been stuck in that frame of mind where big numbers and the big number blues are what haunt my scorecard. And it becomes the difference between a 73 and a 74 or a 79 to 82. And that's just kind of how the cookie ends up crumbling sometimes. And but after making the turn and bogeying the ninth from the middle of the fairway, mind you, I was a little frustrated again. So I got a little too aggressive on 10 and made bogey. So bumped to 8 over and then kind of cruised. I missed a really good birdie opportunity on the par 3 11th, which is a quirky hole. This is like Country Club of Lansing, great golf course. I love the condition. They do a really great job of keeping the place in tip-top shape, and it's a ton of fun to play. But this 11th hole, it almost feels like the architect designed 17 holes and then ran out of space. And so they dropped this short par 3, and it, depending on where the tees are, it measures anywhere from about 75, 80 yards to 120 tops. And a couple different tee boxes, because again, I feel like they ran out of space. So they just put things where they could to add an 18th hole. And it just happened to be hole 11. So again, flipped a wedge in there, almost made birdie. That was good. The par 5, 12th, this is where I kind of wanted to get on a run, because again, when you're flipping a wedge into a par 3, you're thinking birdie. There's a par 5 that isn't reachable in two, but it's not a hard par five. So I hit a drive up the left, laid up to about 110, 115 yards, and then flipped a wedge in there to about 18 feet, 15, 18 feet, and ended up two putting for par. So that was a drag. And then we get to the drivable par four. And I say drivable, but it is long. It's, I want to say it measured like 347 yesterday, but it had a little bit of a helping breeze out of the left. And it's a slight dogleg left as well, so you can kind of cut off a little bit of the corner. But at this point, I'm 8 over par. So I know in years past, 76 is the number. 76 will get you through to the Michigan Open pretty much every year through Country Club of Lansing when they're taking 19 spots. And so I ended up ripping driver again, flared it to the right. The shot that haunts my game, and lost yet another ball in the rough. And this time I you know what, I had a kind of a sixth sense for this, so I did hit a provisional and I hit a four iron out there and just put it up the left side of the fairway, and that was fine, which is what I should have done the first time, but hindsight's 20/20, because that was an easy par for double after not finding my ball in the rough again. So after that, we're now 10 over. I go to a par four that's not a very easy hole again, with a dirty hole location. This one's got a shelf on the right side of the green, and it is, again, I kid you not, probably 10 or 12 feet wide, and they always put the pin back there. It's a huge, huge green. There's a hazard to the left, and I always end up playing this course because their tournament pins are just ridiculous, and they shove it on the back right corner of this green on this tiny shelf where there's actually an oak tree that overhangs and blocks that front right side, so it's really hard to get to. But I mean, thankfully, I hit one of a couple of good shots. I hit a four iron off the tee and then hit an eight iron, which was kind of bold, but it felt like the right thing to do. I had the pin being in the back. It was 183 yards to flag, and the pin was 20 paces on, so it was only 163 to front. And I'm coming out of the first cut on the right side, and I'm thinking, if this has a little bit of water, a little moisture on the ball yet, because it was still damp, and if I catch any bit of a jumper, kind of a fly or lie out of that first cut, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that 8 iron is going to cover the front edge of this green at 160 to 165. And if it jumps, I will get that 180 number. And I knew that 7 iron might bring long into play, and I didn't want to short side myself. So anyway, I hit 8 iron, hit this really, really, this was the shot of the day for me. I hit a really beautiful high fade to this back right hole location that ended up about 6 feet from the hole, and made my first and only birdie of the day, so that was cool. Got back to 9 over, which again, wasn't stoked about, but I still had a par 5 coming up next, another short, potentially drivable par 4 in 16, and then 17 is a long par 3, and then 18 is a birdieable hole as well. It's a nice home hole, kind of shorter par 4. But so coming off the birdie, I think, all right, let's keep it rolling. You got a par five here, one that I can get home in two on. So I hit my best drive of the day on this par five, and it measures, I think this par five was 530 from the back tees, 525-ish, 530, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I had 194 yards into this green from the smack dab middle of the fairway. And old Ric Flair decides to rear his ugly head again as I blast the 6 iron. Trying to go for that front right hole location, I blast this 6 iron like 30 yards to the right, and I'm actually in the rough behind 14 green over there, and I end up chipping it on, and because now I'm short-sided and the pin's tucked over a bunker, so I end up erring on the side of caution and hitting it long, and then I proceed to three putt. So my awesome birdie opportunity from 200 yards out in the middle of the fairway on a par five quickly became a bogey, and back to 10 over, and then I just cruised to the house, parred the next three holes, and cruised to the house to card a 82. So it's kind of funny when you talk about it like that, but anyway, 82 on the round again, triple, a couple of doubles, just mistakes and sloppy mistakes. So there's kind of some good takeaways and kind of some bad, but that's golf. And so the bad is that for me, confidence off the tee is everything. If I can put the ball in position off the tee, I can hit a lot of good shots. And I wish yesterday, knowing how short that CCL is, I wish I would have been more disciplined in hitting 4 iron off of a lot more tees. I think if I would have done that, that could have kind of changed the tune a little bit. And I think it would have, I know that I could have shot less than 76. I mean, shoot, you take away the triple and a couple of doubles and I'm right there at 74, 75. And again, not great, but maybe I pour in a few more birdie putts. Who knows? I mean, golf's a funny game and momentum, it does a lot for you over the course of a tournament round. But it wasn't in the cards yesterday, so I'm sad to report that I did not qualify for the Michigan Open this year. I will not be punching a ticket to Traverse City, which is sad for me. It's kind of an event that I look forward to. This is, as far as my competitive schedule goes, this is what I would call a major. Getting up there for a state open and having it be a professional event, it's a really cool thing. And again, it's super important to me to get up there and get my grandpa out there to watch and have that experience as well. So wasn't in the cards this year, but you know that we'll be back next year. And what this kind of dovetails into is the remainder of the season. We're here in July, and traditionally I've still got quite a bit of competitive golf left to play at this point. But with COVID and everything and skipping a few events that I normally might play in, I don't have another tournament on the calendar for the rest of this year. So I think I'm going to dip back into the Mitten Golf Tour with my partner Paul, who we've had on the podcast. Him and I are going to team up again. I think I'd mentioned before, I think we're shooting for the event at Quail Ridge in August. The Grand Rapids City Stroke Play Championship, or Grand Rapids City Championship, is in August as well, and that's out at Watermark Country Club. But Watermark, I say this now, but who knows? Because again, this kind of, I'm stubborn and I don't ever quit. And so even though I'm not playing particularly well and I've got some things that I want to work on, I'm saying right now that I do not intend to sign up for the City Stroke Play. But give it a couple weeks and get a few more rounds under my belt, and all of a sudden the competitive itch will come back and I'll probably end up signing up to play, even though Watermark Country Club is not a course that I particularly love. And I'll maybe talk about that and profile the course a little bit more if I do end up competing in that event. But they canceled the Grand Valley Am, which was a drag. That one's out at the Meadows again, and I would have absolutely played in that. But they ended up canceling that one because they had to reschedule due to COVID, and they just couldn't get another date on the calendar. So the rest of the season is kind of up to me. I've got nothing that I'm committed to, which is cool. I'm going to play a ton of fun golf, including I've got a tee time tomorrow with some buddies. I'm going to end up taking tomorrow afternoon off and go up to Pilgrim's Run and play with some friends of mine, which is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that, as Pilgrim's is one of my favorite courses. I've talked about it a bit on the podcast early on in the season. Haven't talked about it in a while, but I'll be excited to get out there and play it for the first time this year and profile it for you guys. And other than that, it's just going to be kind of see where things go. But I really want to dip into, I know I talked about this a little bit last episode, I strayed away from working on technique. I wanted to simplify things, help make golf more of a feel game for me instead of being so technical about it. But I have taken Paul, actually, who was out at Kauffman a couple weeks ago, hitting some putts on his lunch break and taking some time to practice a little bit. And he caught me on the range on his way out. He was passing by, heading back to the office, and I was out hitting some balls, and he pulled over, and I had the tripod out, I had the camera rolling, and I was taking some swing video. I am guilty of doing that from time to time, less often now than I used to, but I do think it's important because I think it's good to have kind of benchmarks. So I like to know where my swing is at when I'm swinging well, and I like to know where my swing is at when I'm swinging not so well, or at least not so confident in my swing. And so I do have some swing video, and I did identify a few things that I would like to kind of observe and work on and change fundamentally in my golf swing, as I think it will help eliminate that the dreaded Ric Flair out to right field. And I know, I told Paul yesterday, we were talking about it. He was shooting me a text and see how I did yesterday in the qualifier. And I said, man, the day that I eliminate this right of right miss from my game is the day I get my game back. It's the day that I will be shooting those scores consistently in the low 70s again, because that's where I was a couple years ago. And somehow I've stumbled into this fundamentally poor swing fault that is just causing more trouble than it's worth. And so I'm actually really excited to get back down to business and try and make some technical changes to address this, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I can eliminate that miss, I'm gonna have my game back. Because iron play is still strong, wedge play is still good. I still putt well. I love putting, and that's the strength of my game. That is what I consider myself great at. And so if I can just put it all together again, those good competitive rounds of golf are going to be right back there in the cards for me. So I'm going to be mostly gearing up towards the 2021 season, which hopefully will be fully post-COVID and I can get back to a normal schedule with USGA qualifiers and things like that, because I've missed a lot of events this year due to COVID canceling things, which has been fine because it's been a year of discovery for me, and every once in a while you need that. So other things I have to look forward to though is I had a listener reach out to me early on in the podcast, and it was super cool. I mentioned it a handful of episodes back, and he invited me to come play his home course with his son. And so I've got a tee time with them out at Willowwood over in Portland coming up in a few weekends. So I'm looking forward to that. And they're actually up vacationing in Manistee right now, and they took a couple of recommendations from me to get out and play Manistee Country Club and Bear Lake County Highlands. So I'm super stoked to get with them and hear how their trip to Manistee was, what they thought of the two courses, and then get out and play Willowwood. I haven't played there in a couple of years, and it's just going to be super fun to get out and meet some new people and spend time talking golf and hanging out. So looking forward to that. And other than that, again, calendar's pretty open. So we're going to keep the rest of the year kind of fluid and flexible and kind of put my nose to the grindstone in a little bit different way, other than just hitting balls, playing golf. We're going to get a little more deliberate in what I'm doing technically. But for the podcast, what this is going to mean is I know I kind of got caught up when I first launched this podcast. It was with the intent of profiling more Michigan golf courses and kind of getting you guys out and getting you guys informed on, hey, what's around. I mean, Grand Rapids has a ton of golf courses. The Lakeshore's got a bunch. Obviously, I mean, we've got the third most number of golf courses in the country, I think behind California and Texas or something like that. So again, there's plenty and plenty and plenty of good golf to be played, and I could put out a podcast every week for over a year and just profile courses in and around West Michigan. And so I'm looking forward to getting back to that a little bit. Competitive golf has been fun and I've enjoyed sharing the journey with you guys, but I'm also looking forward to just getting out and playing some more golf courses that I don't normally play, and like Pilgrims. I'll get out to Pilgrims and tomorrow, and I'll be able to talk about that with you guys. My buddy that I played the Meadows with on Sunday, we're gonna head out to Macatawa Legends. Well, I guess now Macatawa Golf Club, since they've kind of done a little bit of a rebrand, and we're gonna do that in the coming weeks. And looking forward to that. If I get out with Paul again in the Mitten Golf Tour, we're gonna play Quail Ridge, which is one that I don't play often. So I'll be stoked to share that one with you guys. And then I'm going to catch up my coach, Randy. He's out west right now in Seattle. And when he gets back, we're going to kind of reconnect and probably get out and play a little bit. And who knows where that'll be. But when the time comes, I'll have another course or two to profile for you guys. So anyway, long podcast, short. The Michigan Open qualifier was unfortunately not a success. But again, there is no failure. I mean, of course, you want to qualify, and I play in these events to compete and play well and advance. But I mean, every kind of time I go out there and I do something like this, it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to learn how I can improve mentally, how I can improve physically, how I can improve technically. And so, again, just looking forward to doing that. So I'm gonna kind of get back to the drawing board and square some things up with my technique, and I'll talk to you guys about that too. And I'm going to be doing some pretty cool fitness stuff here in the for the remainder of the year, kind of dedicating some more time to my program and my routine and how I've kind of built my body around what I want to accomplish in golf. So I'll be sharing that with you guys. But thanks again for tuning in. You guys are awesome. I appreciate all the messages, all the words of support and everything you guys have kind of given me there through this tournament season. And again, if I put more stuff on the calendar, I'll talk about it because it's fun for me and hopefully it's fun for you guys to listen to. So, but until next time, thanks for tuning back in, and we'll have another podcast later this week and talk Pilgrims Run for you guys. So something to look forward to then. All right. But anyway, stay cool out there. It's getting hot again. Hopefully you guys are out playing some golf, having a good time and enjoying what we have here for Michigan summer. So thanks again, and we'll catch up with you all soon.